Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills podcast is a broadcast outreach of Dag Heward Mills Ministries, which has the duty to bring you the very best from the vast teaching archive of healing evangelist, best-selling author, and megachurch pastor, Dag Heward Mills. This Thursday, Bishop Dag will ask you and explore an important question concerning the identity of Jesus Christ and his importance to you. Today's salvation message takes a closer look at the different perceptions people had of Jesus Christ. Bishop Dag will address some of the most commonly held beliefs about our Savior. How you see and receive a person is how they ultimately become to you. And after today's message, your eyes are being tuned to see Jesus' significance in your life in the right way.
Let us pray. Father, thank you for the great blessing that you give to us today. In the name of Jesus, we are grateful for your blood, for your mercies, which allow all of us to be here today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Right. Are you glad to be in church? It's also good to be here. Tonight, I'm preaching on salvation. My topic is, what do you think of Jesus? What do you think of Jesus? And my scripture is from John chapter 7. And I'm reading from verse 12. And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. For some said, he is a good man. Others said, nay, but he deceiveth the people. Howbeit, no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? And Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true. And no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go ye about to kill me? And the people answered and said, thou hast a devil. Who goeth about to kill thee? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and ye all marvel. Moses therefore gave you the circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers, and ye on the same day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Wow. This is an interesting point, because all along the people would not do any work on the Sabbath day, but they were also circumcising children on the Sabbath day. So, Jesus was pointing them out to them that they were hypocrites. You get it? Because they have made a law and they've made it that this is wrong. But meanwhile, they were doing that wrong thing in another way, but they have not realized that it was breaking the law which they said should not be broken. Or you don't understand what I'm saying? And we do that also all the time. we preach about things, we have rules, this is not right, that is not, like for instance, it's not right to smoke a cigarette, but we drink Coca-Cola with dissolved teeth. Do you know that if you put and the scripture that we use is that you do not have to destroy the temple of God. And if a man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him. So when we see somebody smoking, we say he cannot be a believer. But if you put a screw inside a bottle of Coke, a glass of Coke, it will dissolve. Metal screw. I think I'm right. Or it will remove all rust. It will remove the rust. And I think if you put your tooth in, it will disappear. Tooth will vanish. Yeah? And one bottle of Coca-Cola contains 6 cubes of sugar. It's like a man drinking a cup of tea with 6 cubes of sugar. It's to drink one Coke, one Fanta. And sugar is not good. We are drinking every day. That one we are not quoting. We are not quoting. The body is the temple of God. We are not quoting it. You see, what I'm trying to say is that this thing that the Pharisees were doing, we do it in many different ways. We say, this is wrong. But then we do that the same reason why we don't do that. We do it in another way. But that's why we don't say that it's wrong. Are you listening to me? Yeah. That is the reason why we must constantly confess our sins. You must always pray for forgiveness of sins. As a regular prayer, which you mean. Not mean I can't care or what did they say I should say. But what is true? That we are breaking our own laws all the time. Amen. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Then some of it's too loud up here. It's too loud here. Then some of them of Jerusalem said, is not this he whom ye seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Howbeit we know this man whence he is, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, ye both know me and know whence I am. And I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. And many of the people believed on him, and said, when Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man has done? Amen. Number one, my salvation message has points. And the first point is this. Number one, people have different opinions about Jesus Christ. Amen. Because John chapter 7 verse 12 says, and there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. Some said, he is a good man. Others said, nay, but he deceiveth the people. Amen. So, you must know that many of us have different opinions about the same thing. Amen. And so, if you are preaching a salvation message, you must be able to address the different types of opinions that people have about the same thing. That is why any pastor who thinks that he can convince his church to be a monolithic body which believe in one particular political party is making the mistake of his life. Monolithic means one type of stone. It's like, it's just the same. Everybody has a different opinion. It's amazing. Everybody has a different mind. And when elections come, you see more than any other time. Everybody has his own perception. And as for what motivates them, sometimes it's easy to see. Sometimes it's not so easy to see. But everybody has his own idea. So a good preacher addresses the different mindsets that are existing. When our church was attacked during the NDC era, the first one, Lighthouse was attacked during that era, you would have thought that many or all the Lighthouse people who were there at that time, and even who were beaten, would have not supported NDC. But people have different opinions, and you just have to accept it. That was one of the times when I realized everybody has his opinion. You can't tell easily why. But during that time, I saw that no matter the overwhelming evidence, everybody there has a different mind. As we are all here, people have different mentalities. If I open up this church for election, you'll be surprised. That's when you see that people have different opinions about who is the leader or who should be the leader. You will even find that people don't even know my name. I remember one time I was preaching, I said, "My name, what is my name?" No, they didn't know my name. So you must realize that not everybody thinks in a particular way. Amen.
Amen.
During that election period, I found out that some people had contracts, NDC contracts. So they needed the church wall-breaking party to be there, even though it was breaking their own church. They needed them, because when they go, the contract will change. Others were from a tribe. One day, I went for dinner with 15 pastors, 15 of my pastors, and I decided to do a poll. What do you call it? Opinion poll. NDC MPP. It was before elections. And it was 8-7. Yeah, 8-7. Eight for either NDC or MPP and 7 for NDC or MPP. 8-7. It was almost balanced. Just like the real elections. Just how the election is in Ghana today. It is just like that. 8-7. It's like almost the same, depending on who, depending on your tribe, depending on your contract, depending on this, different opinion. Even the church hasn't even come in. So if you are a pastor and you think you are going to have a monolithic opinion, you are joking. Christ may stand here and raise the dead. If you think everybody will believe in him because they have seen him risen, then you are a joker. Tell somebody you are joking. It is not so. Amen?
Yes.
Are you listening?
Yes.
You must accept and know, and a good preacher, he can preach to the different minds.
Hallelujah.
Hey! You have to know how to preach to the proud. You have to know how to preach to the humble. You have to know how to preach to this group, to that group, all the groups, all groups. Because all opinions are there, whether you like it or not. That is why we cannot and must not allow people to make our churches like they are making businesses. This is an NPP business. This is an NDC business. These people support NDC. These people support NPP. That's how they would like to change the church. But we refuse it. They themselves, the chairs they are sitting on are not stable. You know? Is it not true? If you win election by 20,000 votes, is it a stable chair? It's unstable. 20,000 people have to change their mind. Then suddenly we are on another airwave. And no, as we are in Ghana now, petrol price have gone up. Nobody knows how, what people, some people the price have gone up. They say it doesn't matter. Some the price have gone up. Say it matters. Everybody has a different opinion. You can never tell what people are. So it is the voting. Then you see that all the people at Adenta, this is how their mind is working. All the people at Colegono, this is how their mind is working. All right. So Jesus did not, by raising the dead, opening the eyes of the blind, did not make everybody have the same opinion.
Yeah.
You can have a very, very good preacher. People have a different opinion. On Sunday, I was at a church which was being dedicated, and the plaque was being put outside to honor Archbishop Duncan Williams. So I went to the church to support my friend Reverend Steve was doing that. So I went to the church to support that program, just to encourage them, you know. And so they asked me to come up. And so as I spoke of the congregation, I know that different people have different opinions about the person. Something this, something that, something whatever. You see, everybody has a different opinion. So as I spoke with the mind and the knowledge that there are people with different opinions there. And I don't care what you think. Whatever. It doesn't bother me. You get it? And I told them, I said that he was our pastor. We didn't know any church. That is the church we went to. And we will honor him because he's a father. And if you think we are children, because there are some people whose minds are that we are children, we don't know certain things. That is why we speak, we are naive. And so I said, if you think we are children, we shall always be children. That's it. It's fantastic, isn't it? So tell your neighbor, I never knew that you also had a different opinion in the church. Number two, some people think that Jesus is a good man. But my question is, what do you think of Jesus? Amen. Bible says in John 7, verse 12, Bible says, and there was much murmuring among the people concerning him, and some said he is a good man. Wow. Some people think Jesus was just a good man. Amen. Some people thought he was a really good, good person. Amen. Isn't that fantastic? Number three, some people think, and some people thought, and some people think that Jesus was a deceiver. Bible says, and there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. And some said, he is a good man, and others said, nay, but he deceiveth the people. Amen. Some people think he's a liar. He's a deceiver. How many love Benihin? How many love Benihin? You know, I was recently in Orlando. Have you heard of Orlando? Benihin used to be in Orlando. His church was called OCC, Orlando Christian Center. So I went to his church. I just wanted to go. I said, oh, take me to Benihin's church, where he used to be the pastor. And then I went there and I saw the place. I went, walked inside a bit and so on. It's nice to go to some of these places. Now, I met a pastor and I asked him, why did Benihin leave this city, Orlando? And the pastor said, I don't know why he left. But perhaps he was just tired because the people in the city gave him a hard time. I said, like what? What do they do? They didn't like me. Oh, a lot of people were coming to the church and so on. But a lot of people were pressed, newspapers, they were harassing. I said, really? Like, I said, oh, you can come to church in the morning and you will see placards with people. Benihin, we hate you. We don't like you. Benihin, this, we hate you and so on. Yeah. I mean, come to church. These are the people lying up there. We hate you and so on. You are a liar. I mean, all kinds of... I mean, people have what? Different opinions. You think he's a good man. Somebody is a liar. He's a deceiver. This is what I'm trying to explain to you, that you may just love Jesus, but that people genuinely, there are people who think it's not true. You see a man of God, you think, oh, this guy, oh, I know him, he's this, he's that, oh, whatever. But people have different opinions, and many people think preachers are liars. They think we are liars, we are deceiving people, we're just collecting people's money. There's a way they talk. I mean, I've heard people talking like that before. There's a mind. Say he deceived the people. So if you are a pastor and somebody says that about you, you must give glory to God. I mean, if no one has ever said that about you before, then you are not yet in the ministry seriously. I mean, you have to have somebody saying that you are deceiving people sooner or later for you to be genuine. Wow. Amen.
Amen.
So they said probably he just left the city because of all these harassments. Wow. Number four, some people see Jesus just as a great teacher. And he was a great teacher. The Bible says in John chapter 7, verse 15, and the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? How does he know letters? How is he able to know these words? The words that he's speaking, the preaching, the fantastic teachings of Jesus. I mean, when you listen to the teachings of Jesus, you just marvel the way they are so true. Years go by, they are still true. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the humble. Blessed are this. Blessed are that. It's all true. Forgive your neighbor. If you ask him, God will answer. This and that. This will happen. Prophet. How did this man know letters? Letters. Books. He never learned. He's a carpenter. You know, some of you think that, you know, you see, in many cultures, they divide people from around class 3. Did I say class 3? From 3 or from 1? They do something, even in Switzerland. They have a system and they divide you. Those who they think their minds are. The school system divides the people into those who must work with their hands and those who must work with the mind. It's true. You may not know, but I'm telling you. So if you have been divided into those that must work with their hand, you become an electrician, a mason, a carpenter, whatever. What? Seamstress, welder, anything physical. They divide you in the school in Switzerland. It's not that it's not a good job, that then they have then people who do law, science, engineer, things that they don't use the hand, but the mind. They divide you into two. So Jesus was divided into the carpentry session. Hey! And he was speaking fantastic words. And they said, this man does not know letters. How is he able to preach? Amen? Number five. Some people think that Jesus was demon-possessed. And the people answered and said, thou hast a devil. John 7 verse 20. Who goeth about to kill thee? Jesus told them, you are trying to kill me. And they said to him, are you there? They said to him, who told you that somebody is trying to go? You are possessed with a devil. How can such a thought even occur to you? So some people think that preachers are demon possessed, or the powers are coming from hell. I heard the pastor who had a live church that he had gone to India. I don't know if it's me. I don't think it's me. I think it was about somebody. And had got some cows and had buried the cows in a sand, in a seven cows or a number of cows. And then the cows had turned into worms in the ground. Of course, it gets, it rots, decomposes. And the worms were the members of the church. The multitude of worms were the numerous members, and that is the explanation for the church growth, is the cows that were buried that turned into worms. People have all kinds of explanations. When there is an accident, they say they're using the blood of the people, of the person, to do his witchcraft, all kinds of things. So do not be surprised when you hear that people think that Jesus Christ was demon possessed. And at some point in our other, somebody must call you the devil. Otherwise, you are not advanced in the work of God. At a certain point or other, somebody will call you the devil or a demon or demon possessed. Then you are getting nearer the kingdom of God. You are becoming nearer to Jesus. Some of you who like the praises of men, there's a song for the praises of I'm not trying to sing a song. I'm trying to show you the first part. It says, for the praises of men, for the praises of men, I will never ever stand. Because some of us like our skin so much. We don't want anybody to say, one day a lady said, I don't like it at all. Where's the pot? I said, hey, then you don't want to work for God. How many have heard somebody say something bad about me before? Raise your hand. 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 And even when I look at my life, I can't imagine what somebody will say bad about me. What have I done to you? You understand? What have I done to you? It's very wild. I mean, Bishop Saki, will you believe that every Anybody here raise their hand? Raise it again. If you have heard somebody say something, raise it. You should start to stand up and look at the people. Everybody has heard somebody say something bad about me before. Hey, what have I done even to you personally? Have I come to your house before? Have I interacted with your relative before? Have I said something bad about you? Then why? Oh. So those of you who don't want this to happen to you, don't come near the work of God. That is how the work of God is. Expect. Expect it. Amen. Then, number 6. Some people see Jesus as a doer of miraculous signs. Amen. Miracles. Just somebody who does miracles. Many of them believed on him and said, when Christ comes, will he do more miracles than these? What this man has done. Some see Jesus as a miracle worker. Amen. Number 7. But there are many miracle workers. Even people that are not of God. Number 7. Some see Jesus as a prophet. And there are many prophets. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, they said of a truth, this is the prophet. John chapter 7, verse 40. They said, this is the prophet. Muslims believe that Jesus Christ is one of the great prophets. I think Jesus is mentioned in the Quran. I believe he's mentioned in the Quran, is he not? I think he is. He is mentioned. And he's mentioned, I believe, as a prophet. As a great prophet. What is a prophet? A prophet is somebody who says things that will happen. And then it happens. Do you get what I'm saying? Yeah. So, that is a prophet. Number 8. But some people see Jesus as the Messiah. Hallelujah. John 7 verse 41. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Amen. Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Amen. Shall Christ come out of Galilee? So some people see Jesus as the Messiah, the Savior, who is coming. Amen. And number 9, but who do you say that he is? Who do you say that he is? Jesus, and he saith unto them in Matthew 16 verse 15, he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. Now, this is the great question. But you, whom do you say he is? Wow. Now, that is the question that changes your life. Hallelujah. Who is Jesus to you? Amen. Amen. Because he may be, he is different things to different people. Amen.
Amen.
Are you there?
Yes.
Kenneth Hagin was different things to different people. If you watch a video of his funeral, you will see different people who came speaking about Papa Hagin. He was different things to different people. He was a great teacher. He was a great man of God. He was a great prophet. Depending on how you related with him, you got something. That's how every man of God is, and that's how Jesus is. Depending on how you see him, you get whatever you take him to be. Because every man has different caps that he wears. I am a father, I am a husband, I am a friend, I am a pastor, I am an apostle, and I am an evangelist, I am a teacher of the word, I am a prophet to some people, I am a shepherd to some people, I am a good friend, I am a bad friend, I am an acquaintance to some people. I mean, depends. I'm an employer to some people. I'm a boss to some. Depends on how. I'm a doctor to some people. It depends on which camp. How you see me? So when I watched Kenneth Hagin's funeral, I saw different signs. And so they called different people. His children, his daughter, you know, his daughter talk about daddy. And she just spoke. She said, we didn't hear all those stories at home. All the stories, said, all those stories that he used to tell, we never heard them, because he never says that when he comes home, he sits down with the remote of the television, and he puts the television so loud that nobody can do anything in the house except that television that is on. That is what the daughter said about her father. But she knew him as a daddy who comes with a remote and puts the television on very loud. Whilst we are receiving the anointing, you are seeing the remote that the television is too loud. The granddaughter saw, she called him Papa, Papa. And she saw him as her grandfather, whom she really loved and so on. She was the most tearful, and it was very emotional when she spoke. How she spoke about him and how she ran past the secretary to go to her grandpa, and she would sit on his lap and talk to him and this and that, and he was always there calling her on her birthday and different things. She saw him also differently. And somebody also see him as, I see him as a mean. Yeah, actually, Papa Hagin, I don't even want to meet him physically. Because sometimes I'm not going to meet these people physically. You are seeing the person as a spiritual existence. With an anointing that you are receiving, that's all. Some people saw him as a white man who didn't relate to black people. Yeah, some people saw him as a white man, so white. Some people saw him as white, some as, different, I tell you, depends on how. So that's why Jesus asked Peter, so what are people saying? Some say you are Elijah, some say, so look, I know people have different, who do you say that? I want to know how you are seeing things. And how you see it is what changes it for you. Because it is interesting how you take somebody, how the person becomes to you. When I go to a place and they are not expecting miracles, I don't minister miracle signs and wonders. When I go to a place and they are expecting teaching, I teach. Because who do you say as a guy teacher? Okay, let's go. Teaching. Number one. Principle number one. Principle number two. Number three. Number four. Number five. Seven great principles. Number one. Number two. Number three. Number four. Number five. Yeah. And you must always try to see how people see you. If they don't see you as a father, then you are talking too much. You should end your input here. You are going too far. They don't want all that. That's what they want. This, whatever, general messages, and then that's it. If you tell them, they will turn it against you. It's true. If you didn't tell them, don't tell them the truth. Don't tell them, when I say the truth, don't tell them everything. The truth may be too hard for them to see. It is only when they see you in a certain way that you can even rebuke. There are some people that I rebuke. Bishop Saki cannot rebuke them. If you rebuke them, they will not accept it. It's true. Almost everybody that I know would accept if he were to rebuke them. But everybody sees, there are people that he rebuke, they see him as a father. If I see them, I'll just wave. So, how is it? Finish. It's true. I wouldn't bother because they don't see me that way. How you see a person, it sparks that gift in the person. And the person ministers according to that. And then as you grow, you begin to realize, you start to ask, who do you say? I will relate with you as exactly as you see me. That is why we don't pray for the sick everywhere. I went to a certain place They saw me as a teacher of loyalty. The first time I saw that, they said, "Why should you preach?" They said, "Preach loyalty." Second time I was, "Why did you preach?" That loyalty that you preach and preach that loyalty. That's how they said. So I went and said, "Okay, number one, independent spirit. Number two, this. Number three, this. Number four." Because that is what they say to us. That's true. You go to a place, they see you as somebody who is a speaker for a program which must end at 2. I was going to preach somewhere. They told me, "Look, lunchtime is 2 o'clock and we need to be out of here by 2. And they're giving me the microphone around 1:15, 1:20. And you want me to preach and have..." So I know what you are. You see, you don't see me as somebody coming to minister. I mean, receive it. That's spoiling the service. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? It's a very important question. And that is how the person... But when you're not experienced, you think everybody sees you as you really are. But as you become more experienced, you realize that everybody has a different opinion. Some they may call you father or papa. This happy. Don't be deceived by that. Don't be deceived by that. Find out who it is. You'll be surprised if you tell somebody, "Don't marry this person." The person will go and tell that person, "You know, Bishop said I shouldn't marry you. You know, Bishop said I shouldn't marry you." It's too bad. But me, I weigh everything with my spirit. I weigh everything with my spirit. Do you know Bishop told me that I shouldn't marry? But I just weigh everything. He said, but I just weigh everything with my spirit. And as I weighed it, you know, I want to just go by my conviction. Honey, I love you, baby. You see now. All the things I've seen, it before. So you see people, Father. One day I was driving, somebody shouted, "Pastor Chris." Out to you, he will wash you in his blood, and though your sin be red like scarlet, all our sins are too many, uncountable and unknown stains and sins on our lives. Our sins are like, you know that coconut water, when it goes on your shirt, you cannot easily wash it. Sin is like coconut water. Nothing can wash it. Lumumba cannot wash it. Kisum cannot wash it. What can wash away your sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Coconut water. You see, years ago I used to say, my mother used to say that this on your father's shirt is from the coconut that he has been drinking. It cannot go. I never understood what she was saying. But as I grew, I realized that it is a coconut water. It's like a sin. Nothing can wash it away. But tonight there is something from somewhere. It can wash away your murder, your crimes, your lies, your stubbornness. Hey! Shabala! Some people don't know that stubbornness is a sin. Stubbornness is the in the choir in his church. In the choir of his church, those of you who are choristers, don't let it make you feel confident. Yes, his father used to beat him. That's why he became such a wicked man. His father beat him one day, he was unconscious. His father was beating the mother, and his father, he went to defend his mother. And the father beat him until he became unconscious for several days before he woke up. And he was in the choir. I can show you a picture of Hitler in the choir. But when he went to school, out of stubbornness and rebellion, then they sack him from the school. A man who killed his personal Jews that he killed, plus gypsies, homosexuals, and mentally ill patients, he killed 10 million. That is the one that he personally killed. I mean, he organized and killed 10 million. Hey! Some of you don't know, stubbornness, it is a sin. Stalin, you know Stalin. He was worse than. His name was not Stalin. Stalin in Russian means steel. Man of steel. Stalin. Yeah, his name was Joseph something, but not Joseph. Then Joseph Steel. Stalin steel. He was also in the choir of his church. That is what I'm trying to explain to those of you who are thinking that. You are in the past, so you are righteous. And that is not all. Stalin went to Bible school. His mother's Those of you who are in the Bible school, you think that being in the Bible school is enough. He killed 20 million by assassination, murder, all his political opponents, just politics. 20 million, he saved them and killed all of them. And after he defeated Hitler in 1945, he now came up with a new target to kill Jews until he died suddenly in March 1953. Yeah. His mother sent him to Bible school. Whilst he was at the Bible school, he displayed stubbornness, rebellion, stubbornness in the Bible school. And they sacked him from the Bible school because of his stubbornness, rebellion, and political things that he was doing in the Bible school. So as you see us in the church, We lift up and say, oh Lord, I'm holy. You are holy from where? Hitler was in the choir. Stalin was in the choir. They were stubborn people, rebellious. You go and be praising yourself. You have prayed yourself too early. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. That can wash away that coconut water from your dress. What can wash away your sins? Ay, Shabayaba. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Kisop cannot wash it away. Blue Hobo cannot wash it away. Dark soap cannot wash it away. Huh? Ariel does. No. None of these things. That is who Jesus was. The savior of the world, the man who shed his blood, he came to give his life and shed his blood on a cross to save somebody like you and somebody like me. Look at yourself carefully in the mirror and see how you are and how Jesus came to shed his blood. That is who he is to me. I don't know who he is to you. That's why I ask you the question, what do you think of Jesus? What is he to you? To me, he's my savior. He's the one who shed his blood. By that blood, I am saved. I am made whole. My sins are washed away. I'm made into a brand new creature. When a man is in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What do you think of Jesus? Is he your savior? Who is Jesus to you? Never forget, who he is to you is what you think of the person. And that's the same with every man at home. How you see the person, that's how he becomes to you. Yeah. That is how it actually is. That's how it becomes. So may your eyes be tuned to see the right things. May you see the right. You know, let me tell you something. Some years ago, I had some pastors. One day I went somewhere and I came. And then one of my pastors was introducing me to someone. He said, oh, this is my boss. He said, this is my boss. So I said, boss? Is that how you see me? As your boss? I didn't like it. Then he introduced me another time, said, oh, my boss. So then I realized that his mind was working along union, strike unions and all that. This kind of TUC. This is my boss. I was not surprised when one day he became a total rebel. He said he was going to write a book about me. TUC. You see, but you see it in the way a person sees things. Because me, I see you as part of my family. You see me as your boss. I see you as part of my family. You see me as your boss. We are seeing things differently. And how you see me is how I become to you. Exactly. May you see in the right way. In Jesus' name. Stand to your feet. We are going home. Thank you, Lord, for your great blessing in the name of Jesus. As every head is bowed and every eye closed tonight, you want to give your life to Jesus? Maybe somebody invited you to church, but you don't know Jesus. Who is Jesus to you? Who do you say Jesus is? Is he your savior? Is he the one who washes away your sins, makes you a new person? Jesus must be your savior, the one who washes away your sins and make you a new person. Today, if you want to give your life to Jesus, you want your sins to be washed away, I'm going to pray a special prayer with you tonight. If you are here, Pastor, help me to know God. Help me to know Jesus. I want Jesus to save me. Wash away my sins. I want to be a new person today. If you are here like that, just lift up your hand wherever you are standing. Just lift it up high. God bless you. Lift it high so I can see. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. I see your hand. Lift it up high. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Pastor, pray with me. I want Jesus to come into my life and make me a new person. God bless you. If you have lifted your hand, I want you to come. Come from where you are standing. Come from the front. Come to me in the front here. I want to pray with you. God bless you. Just come quickly. God bless you. Just walk to the front. Walk to the front quickly from wherever you are. I want to pray with you in front here. Come, I'm coming to you. Come to me. God bless you. Oh, clap for them as they come. Clap for them as they come. Come quickly wherever you are. Come, God bless you. Come quickly, quickly. Say this prayer with me. Say it after me. Say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. Today, I confess my sins. Have mercy on me, O Lord. I know I am a sinner. But today, I come to the cross of Jesus Christ. O God, cleanse me. Wash me. Wash away my sins. I beg you, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Have mercy on me. Make me a new person. Write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me today. I love you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for calling me and saving me. I love you, Lord. I thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.